supply chain integrity, and COVID-19. Next on Mercury Now. Hello and welcome to Mercury Now, a podcast series brought to you by Mercury Systems. I am your host, Ralph Gavarez, and today's topic, supply chain integrity and COVID-19, as Mercury takes a zero-trust approach to their suppliers and have taken strides to ensure their suppliers are who they say they are. Joining me is Ash Hall, VP of Supply Chain Enterprise Management, and Ping Maltby, Director of Supply Chain Enterprise Management for Mercury Systems. Ash, Ping, good day and welcome to you both.
Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Ralph.
Before we discuss supply chain integrity, can you please give our listeners a brief background on your current role at Mercury, starting with you, Ping, please?
Sure. Ralph, and currently I'm at the Mercury Systems. I'm responsible for the global procurement operations to supporting 12 manufacturer sites. Prior to, joining Mercury Systems, I was, directly responsible for supporting 14 different manufacturers in North America for over $1 billion supplier spend. So I was fortunate, had a great opportunity to work in China to oversee the manufacturing suppliers in Asia.
Thank you, Ping. Ash?
I'm Vice President of Supply Chain for Mercury Systems. I joined Mercury Systems the end of June of last year, so just shy of my 1 year anniversary. Most of my career has been in supply chain. Prior to Mercury Systems, I was with a company called Meggitt. Spent a number of years with Danaher and started my career at Intel Corporation.
Now, despite significant efforts to contain the spread of coronavirus, including a travel ban, COVID-19, which they're calling the Black Swan of 2020, continues to affect our daily lives. During all this turmoil, supply chain has become a hot topic. Can you explain to our listeners why? And we'll start with you, Ash.
So, COVID-19 required multiple countries to shut down their economies, in some cases almost overnight, and with little or no warning. Stay-at-home orders resulted in high unemployment rates due to daily business operations coming to a standstill. And this resulted in supply chain interruptions, which ranged anywhere from minor to severe, depending on the exact location where the manufacturing was taking place, as each country, state, and city had different lockdown guidelines and timelines.
So add to what Ash said, and the entire global supply chain model was also brought into question as pandemic exposed the risks associated with the over-reliance on tier one, tier two suppliers. So the first shock fell back in January during the Wuhan lockdown was supply shock, where various supply sources from Wuhan was suddenly cut off. And the state of dependency was made even more apparent as it came down to the availability of masks and the ventilators. Prior to the pandemic, over half of the world's masks were made in China. So a recent April Forbes article mentioned how China was able to nationalize N95 mask manufacturers, making it harder for buyers here to actually get a hands on them.
Yes, so as we can see, supply chain directly impacts product availability, and building supply chain integrity is essential to minimizing our risks. Questions like, who are your vendors exactly? Are they domestically owned and managed? Where are their foundries?
Now, you mentioned minimizing risk. What are some risks from a management, ownership, and manufacturing standpoint that impact availability? And also, what are some of the alternative sources of supply?
Yeah, good question. I guess the first one I'd state is, if the supply is cut off or delayed, due to political tensions, a worldwide crisis such as COVID-19, or the vendor goes out of business, it results in material interruptions that can hold up manufacturing, results in delays in delivery, and could result in loss of business. The second point is, a good could also be altered to be counterfeit. This could happen purposely or accidentally. Subsequently, if the part was used to make another product, it could impact the way that end product reliably functions. Worse yet, if that end product was used for a critical or sensitive application, it could become a security threat. An example of this would be a piece of IT infrastructure utilized to launch a weapon. The final point would be alternative sources of supply are extremely important. Having only one tier one or tier two supplier can be really risky. The vendor could change the cost of the good abruptly, and you may have no choice but to pay the price differential to avoid an abruption of supply.
So in addition to what Ash talked about, source of supply is important. We also believe that management ownership may be even more important than where a manufacturer is, especially if you are creating a product that is critical to national defense or nationwide infrastructure. So supply can be abruptly cut off, held hostage, shut down, or refused to due to political or economic reason with little or no legal ramifications. So the full article I mentioned before, for example, questioned if China had taken control of or banned major Chinese-owned N95 masks from working with our buyers. The lack of supply from China meant that U.S. needed to find an alternate source, which is why so many companies are currently stepping up and offering to manufacture masks and ventilators in the U.S. So this pandemic basically highlighted how over-reliance on offshore supplier was a grave business, and in this case, really, and also a health risk.
Yeah, another point to make, consequently, as a company, you must have internal processes in place for risk management that manage suppliers, addresses how much inventory you have on hand, identifies alternate sources of supply, and you need to have emergency protocols.
Ping, what has Mercury been doing to drive transparency into the supply chain and reduce these risks? And also, what additional assurances are we offering our customer base?
So, Ralph, as you pointed out in the beginning of this podcast, Mercury really takes a zero-trust approach to our suppliers and have taken strides to ensure our suppliers are who they said they are. So we serve our key suppliers to assess their cybersecurity infrastructures, and if they meet FAR 52.204-21, which is the basic safeguarding of covered contract information systems, and the DFARS 252.204-7012, which is a safeguarding covered defense information and cyber incident reporting. So this really helps protect any sensitive product development information that we may share with our suppliers from beginning to keep them from compromised by a cyber attack. For those suppliers that Mercury really, and working with them, if they don't meet our initial requirement, we work with them to meet it. And the second voice, we pinpoint the potential supply chain gaps and understand that not all parts are created equal. So therefore, we committed to building products that are highly available and also trusted. So our supplier database really contains various information, such as if they meet the DFAR requirements and also where they do their manufacturing. So we can provide an official country of origin for the parts that we purchase, and in fact, even some of the insights on their tier one, tier two, tier three layers of origin. So lastly, we are a U.S. managed and owned company and have several in-house manufacturer facilities that offer additional insurance to our customer base.
Ash, from what Ping just stated, being a U.S. managed and owned company is important to deliver high availability. What else is important to deliver more from an assured supply chain perspective?
It's important to work with companies that have multiple domestic locations, production sites, and employs U.S. citizens, including those with necessary security clearances. This is important in terms of availability, as you wouldn't be reliant on just one site or a small group of individuals to maintain business operations. Second, organizational structure matters, because in times of need, it's important to be nimble.
A matrix organization promotes mind share, flexibility, and information flow. Third, we actually saw how vital this was during the pandemic, as most of our employees could transition to work from home, as we already had a secure remote IT infrastructure in place. Key individuals working in production, shipping, and manufacturing were able to safely continue getting critical products to our customers, because by transitioning the other employees to work from home scenarios, we were able to ensure proper social distancing and health protocols for those required to be in the office. We saw different closure times for our facilities based on statewide laws, and were able to leverage resources across all of our facilities so that we didn't have a single point of failure. And finally, there are also other security benefits to dealing with domestic-owned companies. For example, in 2015, the U.S. Navy had to rip out and replace all of their IBM Blade servers after the IBM server business was acquired by Lenovo, a Chinese-owned company. The Department of Homeland Security was concerned about security and subsequently placed government restrictions on procurement of these servers.
Now, given all the risks related to availability, why haven't we seen more companies that support defense and critical infrastructures move their supply chain back to the U.S.? Why haven't we seen this massive shift?
There seems to be an underlying belief that costs would soar if production was brought back into the USA. This, however, is not always true, as industries that have done this so far have found that they're breaking even or even saving money. Just look at the car companies manufacturing in the United States. It makes sense from a cost standpoint because it can be more cost effective to produce and manufacture goods near to where they are sold. So why hasn't this happened more? It comes down to supply and demand. There's a lack of demand which requires some additional cost. If the U.S. incentivized production in the USA, they would end up driving demand, which would then compensate for pricing variation, making it worthwhile for suppliers to shift their supply chain back to the USA and gradually increase supply. This would be beneficial not only for the economy, but also from a risk standpoint, as discussed earlier.
So I definitely echo what Ash said. I was sent in by my, Chris company, Honeywell International, to, managing Asia supply chain for 8 years during 2004 to 2012. So, and that's exactly what their company is doing, why they move over there, why what we need to do to bring the product back to manufacture back to US. But at Mercury, we know how important product availability is, have focused on secure infrastructure and the capability to build our supply chain integrity. So we understand that all components have different purposes, and that there are some that may be more critical than others. For example, motherboard components such as FPGAs, CPUs, or ASICs can potentially be programmed to see everything in a server or process system. That's a component like a fan only serves to cool the system, enhancing its operational reliability in certain environments. So therefore, from a risk perspective, offshore manufactured chips pose a much greater risk than an offshore manufactured fan. So this is why we as a company invest in secure facilities and silicon technologies, which we will be mentioned in a later podcast.
So supply chain integrity is definitely a hot topic, especially these days, where you hear many prominent leaders highlighting how important it is to have an assured supply. However, without the U.S. incentives that I mentioned earlier and policies to move critical supply to the U.S., demand is usually driven by individual buyers or procurement teams who make their own evaluations on whether long-term risk is worth saving a couple of $100 in upfront costs. As an organization, we're working to control that with more robust central sourcing strategies.
I want to take this opportunity to thank you both for joining me today. This information really puts into perspective the effects of COVID-19 and where Mercury stands in the supply chain. Ash, Ping, I wish you both safety and good health, and thank you again.
Thanks, Ralph.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph.
This has been another edition of Mercury Now. the podcast series brought to you by Mercury Systems. I am your host, Ralph Gavarez, signing off.